Support for UpToDate is provided by Geisinger, providing world-class care for our community, here where it matters.
Hello and happy Monday. Welcome to UpToDate from WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to get you caught up on all the news you should know about. The astronauts of Artemis II have returned to Earth, and astronomy enthusiasts in Northeast Pennsylvania hope NASA's historic mission will inspire more people to look toward the stars. And we'll talk about two bills that could change high school sports in Pennsylvania in the latest News Voices. It's Monday, April 13th. Let's get you up to date. First up, we have a different local story. April is Autism Acceptance Month. This month's Keystone Edition focuses on the ways the community supports and uplifts those with autism. WVIA's Lydia McFarlane reports.
Autism spectrum disorder is a neurological and developmental disorder. It affects how people communicate, learn, and behave. Ruby Moye-Salazar is a clinical social worker from Clark Summit. She treats children, and she says children, neurodivergent or not, have higher success rates when they feel supported by their families.
From yesterday to today, from no diagnosis to diagnosis, guess what? It's the same child.
The Autism Society of Northeastern Pennsylvania has a virtual hub of resources. Anne Gillerlane is the Society's board president.
Being inclusive helps everybody. It's not just helping the person who has the disability. All of those strategies, all of those practices support all people at all times. And that's what makes us a rich community to live in.
Kristen Hoffman also works with the Autism Society.
What the community and the world needs is just exposure. In the past, people with autism were sort of hidden. They really weren't there. And now we see them, right? There's TV shows, Love on the Spectrum, right? They're there. People are watching. People are gaining that understanding. And I think that's what we're trying to do.
The number of children diagnosed with autism has significantly risen in the past 20 years. But that's due to increased awareness and research. For WVIA News, I'm Lydia McFarlane.
Thanks, Lydia. Find the full story at WVIA.org. And if you're listening on Monday, catch Keystone Edition, Autism, Awareness, and Acceptance, tonight at 7 on WVIA-TV or streaming at WVIA.org. All right, now let's talk about space. Artemis II brought four astronauts the farthest into space humans have ever been. Astronomy enthusiasts here on Earth are hoping NASA's latest mission will inspire more to explore what's out there. WVIA's Haley O'Brien has more.
Humans visited the moon for the first time in more than 50 years, seeing a side of the moon never seen before. Tom Wildonner was amazed by the images.
The Earth set behind the moon. That's my new desktop. Absolutely incredible.
Wildonner has four telescopes and a personal observatory in his backyard in Packer Township, Carbon County. It's like a shed with a telescope inside.
Garage door opener operates the roof.
The roof opens like a sunroof on a car.
Every clear night that I can get out, I'm out.
Over the years, he's learned a lot about astronomy. He's hoping to share his knowledge with others as a member of the Wilkes-Barre Astronomy Club. John Belanger is the founder.
If you look up, there's this whole universe up there, and you're not really acquainted with it. I think that's unfortunate because it's amazing. It's our last place to really explore, and really all you need to do is buy a telescope and point it. And so in showing stuff, there's always people stuff, there's always this wow factor.
The organization will host monthly star parties this summer.
It's basically the club bringing out all the club members and their telescopes in a field. Everybody picks a different target, and people come out and they go from telescope to telescope.
The next star party will be held at Francis E. Walter Dam in Whitehaven on May 16th. I'm Haley O'Brien, WVIA News.
Thanks, Haley. Find more on this at WVIA.org. Stay with us. There's more Up to Date after this break.
I'm Roger Dupuis from WVIA News. If you haven't already, sign up to get our free newsletter, WVIA News Notes. It's delivered right to your email inbox each Tuesday and Friday mornings. Go to WVIA.org and click on newsletters to subscribe.
Welcome back. Now it's time for News Voices. This week, WVIA's Sarah Hofius Hall joins me to talk about bills that could change high school sports in Pennsylvania. Here's more. Hello and welcome to News Voices, your weekly look behind the scenes at WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks for joining us. High school basketball season is over, but some coaches, educators, and lawmakers are still thinking about state playoffs. Two bills, one in the State House and one in the State Senate, want to establish separate playoff systems and championships for boundary and non-boundary high schools. WVIA's Sarah Hofius Hall is here to explain what that means. Hi, Sarah.
Good morning, Sarah.
Thank you so much for being here. So let's start with the basics. What is the difference between a boundary high school and a non-boundary high school? And what would this bill do?
A boundary school is like a traditional, you know, public school district high school where students come from a very specific geographic area. A non-boundary school would be, you know, a private school, a parochial school, a charter school, where kids can come from all over the place to attend.
Okay, so then this bill would put those two types of schools into a separate playoffs and championship system for basketball.
Yeah, for example, there could be a, you know, a bracket for boundary schools and a separate bracket for non-boundary schools.
Okay, so now that we know what these bills are, who's backing them and why did this come up all of a sudden?
There's been a lot of talk over the years, you know, that these non-boundary schools can recruit players, that it's not fair for, you know, these traditional public high school teams to have to face these schools in playoffs and championships. So after this last basketball season, it really became heightened. So Old Forge, you know, 3.4 square miles, yes. Which they love to, you know, remind us that, you know, these players on that team came from just that geographic area. And they did really well. They had a great season. They've been playing together since they were, you know, little boys. And they made it to the state championship, and they lost to a team from Western Pennsylvania, Swickley Academy. And that team had players from literally all over the world on it. So that loss really brought this issue to light again, that, you know, is this fair? There were, you know, two students on that team from Africa. And then you have, you know, students from Old Forge playing against them.
Okay. And I believe you spoke with the Riverside superintendent, who's one of the vocal supporters of this. Why is he so interested in it?
He said Riverside, you know, these last 3 years has had three of the best basketball teams they've ever had. They've also lost in playoffs the last 3 years to Catholic schools from Philadelphia that either won the state championship or played for it.
Okay. So we're obviously in very early stages here with these two bills. There's one, again, on the House floor, and there's one in the Senate introduced by Marty Flynn. But are you seeing a lot of support for this?
Yeah, a lot of area schools have signed on to support these bills. There's a Facebook group that is really pushing for change. There's a rally scheduled for June in Harrisburg, and people are really starting to get behind this idea.
Have you heard any takes from those boundary schools, those private schools, of if they are going to support this or if they would oppose it?
Not yet. I think a lot of them are taking like a wait and see approach to see, you know, what really does happen in the House and Senate.
Okay. So as we said, the House bill has been introduced. Senator Marty Flynn introduced the Senate bill. What's the status of these two bills right now?
The House bill came out of committee, so now the entire House would have to vote on it. And the Senate bill was just introduced, you know, just a couple weeks ago.
Okay. Do you think that this has application in any other sports besides basketball?
So it would actually be every sport, not just basketball. You know, this last basketball season really brought the issue to light again, but it would be, you know, across the board, all sports governed by the PIAA.
Okay. Well, Sarah, thank you so much, and we look forward to more coverage of this as we get into these other sports seasons and see how it progresses.
Thanks, Sarah.
right, one last thing for you today. Let's travel back in time for This Week in History with WVIA's Julie Sidoni.
This Week in History, a brief look at some of the biggest happenings here at home and around the world, April 13th through the 19th. Lycoming County is new this week, formed in 1795 out of part of Northumberland County. It's the week in 1865 that President Abraham Lincoln is shot in the head at Ford's Theater in Washington, D.C. He dies the next morning. 1912, the British ocean liner Titanic hits an iceberg. 2 hours later, she sinks into the North Atlantic Ocean, hundreds of miles south of Newfoundland. In 1993, in Waco, Texas, it's the week the Branch Davidian compound burns to the ground, killing some 80 people who'd been living there. And in 1997, it's the week 21-year-old Tiger Woods wins the Masters Golf Tournament, his first victory in one of the four major championships. He's the youngest player to win the Masters. That's This Week in History. I'm Julie Sidoni, WVIA News.
So, how are we feeling? All caught up and ready for the day? Find more stories at WVIA.org. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks for starting your week with me. If you want to stay in the know, make sure you subscribe and listen every weekday wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great day, everyone. I'll catch you tomorrow, right here on Up to Date.